Good morning and welcome to our Wednesday morning chapel. In the days ahead, we will be celebrating the Reformation. Tomorrow and Friday, we have the Reformation lectures here on our campus in the YFAC Theater. And I'd like to encourage students to attend that as well. And then on Monday, on October 31st, which was the actual day that Luther went and nailed the 95 Theses on the church door, we'll also celebrate that in chapel as well. Today, our worship will focus on the blessings of the catechism and the importance of catechetical training that that we receive in oftentimes in our childhood and youth. Just a couple of announcements to make before we begin. Tonight, there will not be a Vesper service tonight. That will be tomorrow afternoon, late afternoon at 4:30. The Reformation Vespers will be tomorrow afternoon at 4:30. Our Bible study for tonight, we're going to move that an hour earlier. So on the bottom of your sheet for today, it says it's at 8:45. We're going to move that to 7:45 to 8:30 so that you can participate in the Viking Cup, which I know really matters. So anyway, got to do that. We use then portions of the Office of Matins for today, and please rise as we join in the versicles. Please join me then in the responsive reading of the Ten Commandments as you find them beginning on page 31. Commandment, you shall have no other gods. What does this mean? We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. Second commandment, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not curse, swear, practice witchcraft, lie, or deceive by his name, but call upon him in every trouble, pray, praise, and give thanks. The third commandment, you shall keep the day of rest holy. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching and his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. The fourth commandment, honor your father and your mother, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. What does this mean? We should fear and love God, so that we do not despise our parents or superiors, nor provoke them to anger, but honor, serve, obey, love, and esteem them. And the fifth commandment, you shall not kill. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do no bodily harm to our neighbor, but help and befriend him in every need. And the sixth commandment, you shall not commit adultery. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we lead a chaste and decent life in word and deed, and that husband and wife each love and honor the other. The seventh commandment, you shall not steal. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not take our neighbor's money or goods, nor get them in any dishonest way, but help him to improve and protect his goods and means of making a living. The eighth commandment, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not lie about, betray, or slander our neighbor, but excuse him, speak well of him, and put the best construction on everything. The ninth commandment, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not craftily seek to gain our neighbor's inheritance or home, nor get it by a show of right, but help and serve him in keeping it. And the tenth commandment, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his cattle, nor anything that is his. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not tempt, force, or coax away from our neighbor, his wife, or his workers, but urge them to stay and do their duty. And finally, what is called the conclusion. What does God say about these commandments? I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, and showing mercy to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. What does this mean? God threatens to punish all who transgress these commandments. Therefore, we should fear his wrath and do nothing against these commandments. To all who keep these commandments, therefore, we should love and trust in him and willingly serve. You may be seated for our devotion. Our text for our meditation today is taken from the book of Proverbs, the third chapter, beginning with the first verse. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commandments in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. So 499 years ago this weekend, that young monk was sitting in his office, probably trying to figure out the best wording for what would end up being the 95 statements challenging the non-biblical practice of indulgences that had been promoted by his church. And he took a hammer in his hand and some nails and walked to the local bulletin board for the university where he was teaching. And that was the doors of the Castle Church in Wittenberg, Germany. And with those nails and posting that piece of paper, started a reformation and some would even say a revolution. Those of us who have grown up in the Lutheran faith have learned about this and appreciate that in a certain way. We might not always realize how dramatic of a figure Luther was in world history as well, not just in the realm of church and theology. About 15 years ago, the Biography Channel, that ran biographies all the time, if anybody remember seeing those, the Biography Channel decided to publish their own list of the top 100 most influential figures in world history in the last 1,000 years. Now, this was not made up of Lutherans, probably not even made up of Christians as far as who was putting it together. And they listed him as number 3 on the list in the last 1,000 years as far as most influential people. Dr. Luther had an influence not only on theology, but had a tremendous impact even on education in Europe, in the realm of music. He affected culture. And he even had a dramatic impact on politics and the development of democracies and many of the things that even came over here to help establish the United States. A number of years before he wrote out what we call the 95 Theses, Luther realized that one of the most important things was to teach these truths from God's Word in the home. And so even while he was under the umbrella of Rome, he put together small pamphlets that ultimately would become the catechism. And these were to be used by parents to teach their children in the home. A number of years after the Reformation, in the 1520s, Luther went out and started visiting some of the churches that had now followed him in the Reformation. And he started visiting and talking to some of the pastors and visiting people in their homes. And this is the report that he wrote afterwards. Good God, what wretchedness I beheld. The common people, especially those who live in the country, have no knowledge whatever of Christian teaching. And unfortunately, many pastors are quite incompetent and unfitted for teaching. Although the people are supposed to be Christian, that are baptized and receive the Holy Sacrament, they do not know the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, or the Ten Commandments. They live as if they were pigs and irrational beasts. A favorite phrase of Luther's. And now that the gospel has been restored, they have mastered the fine art of abusing liberty. In other words, not living according to the creed. I therefore beg of you, for God's sake, my beloved brethren who are pastors and preachers, that you take the duties of your office seriously, that you have pity on the people who are entrusted to your care, and that you help me to teach the catechism to the people, especially to those who are young. And so he saw the need for educational materials that would be put into the hands of parents to instill the truths of God's saving word into children's lives and hearts. And even a year before, if you say that the Augsburg Confession was the official start and document of the Lutheran Church, even a year before that, the Catechism was published to teach these truths to children. And he wanted every family to have a copy of this. And he put it especially on the hearts of the fathers, that this would be their burden of responsibility in a loving way, to make sure that their children heard the Word of God and learned it. And in his preface to that catechism, Luther even talks about and advocates that it would be good to make the children memorize the words, even if they don't know what the meaning is. He said, they'll find out the meaning later on in life. Memorize the words. Get that into your mind and heart. That can be true of a lot of things, even with the liturgy and the hymns and so on. Getting the language of the church down and the language of God's word down. And then we can attach the meaning to that even after that. And he says, if your children don't want to listen to this instruction, tell them they aren't even Christian then. In order to emphasize this, Luther facetiously said that if parents and employers would find that their children didn't want to learn the catechism, they shouldn't even give them any food. Well, he was joking. The vast majority of Christians today, even if you didn't come from a Lutheran background, the vast majority of Christians today had some form of catechism training, some form of instruction as little children. For me, the Reformation that started in 1517 reached me and my life in Vacation Bible School very specifically, you might say, when I was 4 years old. And I was given my first little green catechism. And you can tell by looking inside of it, I still didn't even know how to write my name yet and drew all over it with crayons. And yet the teachings and truths that were given to me in that instruction and from my parents around the table were impressed into my heart and into my mind. Now, granted, as a wicked, sinful human being, with an old Adam that's strong and powerful, I have often tried to throw that faith away. And yet God in his grace has continued to restore me and bring me back to that faith. The text that I just read to you from the book of Proverbs talks about, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. My parents did a wonderful job of teaching that catechism to us children in our home. And I love that line in Proverbs, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Those are the Old Testament expressions for what we call grace in the New Testament, the undeserved love of God. That because of God's own Son and what he did for us on the cross to atone for all of our sins, to grant us full forgiveness, the writer says, do not let this love leave you. And bind all of this, he says, around your neck like you would be wearing a necklace, an invisible, beautiful, heavenly necklace. And the catechism is sort of the way by which parents can place that beautiful necklace around their children, which should be worn all their life until they reach their grave. Listen again to the words from Proverbs. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart. For they will prolong your life many years, and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Thanks be to God for the instruction we received in his holy word. Amen. You may remain seated. Please, again, return to that catechism, the small catechism, which is printed entirely for us inside of our hymn books. Turn to page 32, and we will say together the third article and then the explanation today. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. What does this mean? I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Ghost has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. Just as he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives me and all believers all our sins. And at the last day, he will raise up me and all the dead and will grant me and all believers in Christ eternal life. This is most certainly true. Let us now rise and join in singing what is commonly called the fourth great creed of the church, the Te Deum Laudamus.
Thank you. righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit.